Hey, welcome to the Happy Ramp Podcast. I am Ted Kluck, joined, as always, in studio by Barnabas Piper and Ronald J. Martin. Boys, we have a lot of interesting things to talk about today, including the beloved Chris Pratt and his video at some MTV award function. But first, before we do that, two things. Number one, I have to tell you, I am super bummed, boys. One of my cats ran away and has been gone for like 4 days, and I'm just crushed. Like, I can't think about anything else, baby. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I totally know what you mean. I'm sorry, and I'm devastated for you right now.
Yeah, thanks, man. Thanks. I knew you'd understand.
I totally understand.
As somebody who doesn't like cats at all, but who does have pets and has grown up with them, I too feel very bad for you, because I understand that your feelings for your cats are probably similar to mine for my dog. And so losing a pet sucks. I hope it comes back healthy.
Baby, how are the boys holding up? I mean, was this like a beloved pet for them or what?
It was. It's interesting, man. I mean, everybody in our household is dealing with it like in their own particular way that's appropriate to their personality type. You know, Tristan's just kind of like sullen, quietly, I'm going to power through this and crush it in my mind vice. And Maxim's trying to make everybody else feel better. And KK feels low-key guilty. And I'm just like, you know, completely emo and crushed about it. So hopefully we all recover as a household soon. But I got to be a pro, boys. I got to be a radio pro, you know.
Can I offer you some encouragement, though? You know, this is what's great about kitty cats is that...
Lay it on me.
Well, dude, sometimes they take vacations. Mm-hmm. They like leave for like days, and then they just magically like kind of like come back. I mean, that's happened to me. I've gone through like 20 cats like in my lifetime, and many a times these dudes will leave for like even a week or so, and then they just pop back in as if they've never been gone. But it was just because they never told you they were leaving in the first place, so you just didn't know when to expect them back.
Dude, right.
Because they're animals and they don't speak. And so... I mean, there's still a chance that Kitty's going to come back. Kitty might be coming back.
You're right, man. Right. That's super helpful, man. It's encouraging to hear that.
And absolutely.
Yeah, I mean, she knows the door's always open, literally and figuratively. The food's ready. Everything's ready for her return. But
of course,
yeah,
she's
sad
a cat,
stuff,
and you spoil her, and you're like her staff. That's why.
Absolutely, man. Absolutely. Thanks for hearing me out on that, boys. I appreciate it. But we have business to get to, literal business and the business of creating great radio. Piper, tell us about our sponsor for today.
Yeah, so our sponsor today is actually somebody who I work for and help with, and that is the Word Search Bible software. If you go to wordsearchbible.com, you can check it out. There's two different versions. So if you're somebody who's a Bible teacher or a theology student, seminary student, pastor, you're looking for sermon preparation or anything to help you with working on assignments for school, things like that, Word Search is a great program to help with that. The way that it works is you can set up a free account online, so you can just sort of check it out without costing you anything. We also have a desktop version there that does cost some money. It's not expensive, but there's a free sample version of that as well. So you can basically try out Word Search at no cost to yourself. Every version comes with a few sample resources, so you don't have to go buy anything. And then once you've got it, you just build your library at your pace. So it's not like buying a huge library at an extensive cost. You can buy things as you go. So if you go to wordsearchbible.com, you'll see listed at the top kind of all the ways you can try it out. So the desktop version, the free desktop version, that's what we call Word Search Starter, Word Search Online, which you can use on a mobile device or on any computer. And again, so if you're in the business of sermon preparation, teaching preparation, theological study, this is a great software for you, and I'd encourage you to check it out. And then the desktop version costs about $50. We just did a significant upgrade, and it's the best suite of tools we've ever put together. So again, $50, not that expensive, and then that comes with a few hundred dollars worth of resources already built in, and then you can buy whole sets of commentaries. You can buy volumes as you go. Whatever works best for you on your budget or your church's budget, because I know that's how it works for a lot of you beloved pastors. So again, go to wordsearchbible.com, check out Word Search Starter or the free online version to test it out, or get Word Search 12. That's the current, latest, upgraded version, and begin using it today. And I would love it if you tried it out.
Well, there it is, Piper. Thanks for that that elegant promo, as always. Mm. And also, as always, go buy some Lagares Roasters coffee and drink it. I'm bummed about my cat, so I'm not going to rave about it today. But you guys know how I feel about Lagares. And
well, I'll step in and carry the coffee on this one, because yeah, we can't expect too much joy out of Ted today. There is no joy in Mudville today.
Absolutely.
I'm waiting on my next batch of Lagares Roasters coffee to come. I ordered it a couple days ago, and per usual, Heck and his team, which I think consists of, I don't know, him and his wife and kids, are very quick to turn around orders, because that means you get coffee fresh. So I have Happy Rant Signature Roast arriving either today or tomorrow, and I can't wait to throw it in the grinder and drink it. Out of my missional wear Happy Rant mug, because everything goes better when it's all Happy Rant all the time. So yes, go to happyrantpodcast.com, check out Lagares Roaster Coffee, our swag at missional wear, combine them into the best morning experience of your life.
Wow. Dude, I'm not going to rest until everything in my home is outfitted with our logo on it. Literally every single thing.
Yes, I found myself wearing a Happy Rant t-shirt, drinking Lagares Roasters coffee out of a Happy Rant mug and putting it on a Happy Rant coaster while writing in a Happy Rant moleskin
while listening to a show called The Happy Rant that you're on. That's incredible.
that's actually the one thing I never do, is listen to The Happy Rant. I talk on it, but I never listen to it.
Well, you listen as we're talking, though, I assume. I mean, that's just an assumption.
You know, I listen. I usually just wait for my turn to talk. Is that the same as listening?
Absolutely, it's close enough. In our culture, that qualifies as listening. Okay. Actually, but I'm going to say one thing about Hector Lagares' team, because you left out one person, and maybe the most awesome member of his team is his mother-in-law Marucci. Marucci is Cuban. She rides a motorcycle. She's super awesome. I've been at karaoke parties with Marucci, and she's a blast. So shout out to
amazing.
The whole Hector Lagares team. She's done some crazy karaoke. In fact, I think we did remember that Peter Cetera, Amy Grant number from the 80s, Next Time I Fall? I think I did that as a duet with Marucci at our last karaoke party. So
what kind of motorcycle? I'm just trying to paint a mental
picture.
She's
Harley Davidson, man.
It's not like a Honda, you know, 150 like dirt bike.
Dude,
we're talking
no, it's
legit.
Not a Honda anything.
That's
man.
Amazing.
It's the real deal. Yeah. So she doesn't mess around. Cool lady, very cool lady. Everybody on Heck Lagares' team is super cool, and you should support them. But boys, let's talk about something weird. I want to get right into this. I want to get right into this thing that we just watched. So Chris Pratt, actor, beloved actor, known for a show called Parks and Rec, also known for my favorite Chris Pratt movie is Moneyball. I think Moneyball is peak Chris Pratt. He plays Scott Hatterberg.
That's right. I forgot he was in that.
Yeah, he's Hattie. That was sort of pre-fame Chris Pratt.
Totally,
That was pre him getting really shredded. That was just back when he was a regular dude, which I think he's the best when he's doing regular dude stuff. But alas, those days are over. And now, instead of regular dude stuff, he's getting something at some MTV awards ceremony called the Generation Award, which apparently, even though that conveys like age and inexperience and a long career, apparently you can get that when you're like 33. So so tip of the cap to MTV for just giving that generation award younger and younger. Some like 14-year-old is going to get it next year probably. So anyway, he gets this award, and then he gives this speech about 9 rules for living, some of which included some God stuff that seemed pretty solid, and other parts of which was really stupid. So Big R, you shared this with us. I'm going to throw it to you first. How encouraged should we be as evangelicals by this Chris Pratt speech?
I mean, I just feel like, boys, Hollywood is in good shape now.
It's in great shape. It's in good hands.
I used to worry that the whole thing was just going to hell in a handbasket. Now I just feel like we're good. Like, everything's good now. Pastor Chris is finally been given a voice, and I'm gonna just watch every movie I want now, and not even having to feel like I need to step back and you know have an opinion about anything because he's there and he's controlling the day. But I don't know. There's so much to read in it, right? Because he said some really silly, ridiculous things because again of the audience that he was talking to. And then he said some things that, you know, he obviously it's a 2-minute speech that he, and he said some things that, you know, definitely would fall under the, at least, it would fall within the realm of evangelicalism. But of course, you know, he didn't have a chance to break it down. So when he says, hey, God loves you, and he talks about learning how to pray, and he talks about, I think, honestly, the most important thing he said was at the end where he says, you're not perfect, you're imperfect. And, you know, this idea that I forget what the line was that, everybody that tells you you're great, you know, it means you're great or
you're perfect. You're perfect just the way you are.
You're perfect just the way you are. So, yeah, except you're not. I mean, that to me, that was like amazingly significant what he said to a room full of kids, a room full of 14-year-olds in the generational MTV musical, you know. I don't know. It's like on one hand, you can go too far to the one side and just write off everything he said and be cynical about it. And then on the other hand, you can just kind of do what I did in the beginning, which is just like, oh, we now, you know, because there's nothing evangelicals love more than to grab a celebrity who says the word God in his thank you speech and just want to run to the evangelical moon with this guy. So, I mean, I don't know where Pratty's at. I mean, he's talked a little bit about his faith in some interviews I've read. But I, you know, it's hard to say. I mean, this is where I'm at with it. It was an interesting thing for him to say, at an MTV awards show, because again, it definitely went a little below the surface of the, I just want to thank the big man up above kind of stuff you get, which now, honestly, when people even say that, it's kind of like, well, dude, are you cool with that? That's kind of weird. You know, who's going to come
dude,
after you
can
you
say that
one?
And then like go to a club later that night and shoot four guys and everybody.
Absolutely.
You know what I mean? Yeah. I mean, it's just, it just means nothing.
So Pratty went below the surface on that a little bit and he got a little bit in depth. I mean, again, it's an award show. It's a 1-minute speech, so you kind of got to go, well, all right, dude, there's something there. There's something behind that with the depth that he did allow himself to go. But it's been fun watching everybody respond to it. All the responses I've seen so far have been all super like, you know, like fist bumpy. Like, yeah, way to go. Way to go, Pastor Chris.
So. Dude, if he'd gone 48 more minutes, he would have like a short to mid-sized reformed sermon.
Yeah, you'd have like about a half-sized reformed sermon.
You'd have a half-sized reformed sermon.
He did have 9
well
points, which is 3/4 of the way to a Baptist sermon. So,
Joe Carter writing a TGC article. I mean, how do you want to phrase it?
Yeah. Dude, absolutely. 14 more points and he'd have a TGC article.
I mean, in general, Colin Hansen skips the poop jokes in his articles, but, you know, details.
I'm worried about?
What's that?
I'm worried about the fact that since Pratty did this, if Jared C. Wilson revises his list, I could get bumped out of the top 125.
I mean, I just assume that, Big T.
I figure Pratty's got to slide into the top 10.
That's just a done
thing,
deal.
So.
You're officially out. Sorry.
I think I'm done.
I think you're safe because Pratt didn't mention Jesus.
Or Spurgeon.
Or Spurgeon. That's true. It really suffered for that.
Part and parcel. Two bearded men we look up to for important religious reasons. If he had mentioned Jesus, you're off the list for sure. But the thing that stood out to me about that was how close he got to a legitimate gospel presentation.
Yeah, you're really right, man.
Without quite closing the deal, because he talked about grace and a lot, you know, how it's earned by somebody else's blood, and he compared it to the privileges we have in this country earned by somebody's blood laid down, you know, his sort of pro-military patriotic thing. I mean, he said it very, very well, but and he said the same thing. He said there is somebody who was perfect who paid in his blood for you to have grace or for you to, you know, in place of your perfection, something like that. And I'm like, that is spot on. Who are you talking about?
Tupac. Actually. So there's the rub. I mean, you know, if we
but I
split
mean,
hairs
it's like
this thing.
It's like that was the thing, right? So it's like the dude does not have time
to like break down every one of his points. I mean, essentially what he did was he just preached like just kind of a mega Willow Creek like evangelical sermon is what he did at the end of the day.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It was like that wide.
Well, then he's never getting on Jared Wilson's list.
Well, except it was, you know.
Yeah. It was deeper than a Willow Creek sermon. Right. So, I mean, in fairness to Chris Pratt.
I mean, he just preached a Carl Lentz sermon, right?
Yeah.
I mean.
Yeah, absolutely. Oh, my goodness, man. Well, boys.
What did you think, Big T? I mean, give some of your.
No, I mean, it's been so long since I've watched any kind of like MTV-esque award show. Like, I'd forgotten just kind of how ridiculous the whole thing is. And part of what's hard about adulthood, and man, I'm going glum again like last week, but I think you finally get eyes to see just what a sham everything is and how ridiculous these award shows are, and even the show Parks and Rec. So we've been watching some of that with Tristan, and starting about like mid season 3, all the jokes just become really sexual and really low hanging fruit, and it's all about like who's sleeping with who, and
no,
I realize
no
I sound
pun
like I'm
intended, of course.
Well, yeah, exactly. And I sound like I'm 185 years old right now. But, I mean, I think adulthood gives you that perspective to go, this is when the show started sucking. So they introduce, like, a dozen new characters and make all the jokes about sex and get, like, 3 more seasons out of it. And I don't know. So I look at this stuff through, I guess, very, like, jaundiced eyes. But I do appreciate what he said. I appreciate how he sort of almost presented the gospel. And I think, you know, if you're in any kind of a public eye, you learn to be politic almost in spite of yourself. You know what I mean? So he danced right up to the line of how much God stuff is okay in a speech without it becoming too much God stuff. And, you know, I don't think it's going to hurt him. You know what I mean? Like, so I don't think there's really anything on the line for him.
Yeah, I agree. It's not going to hurt him. And that's a great point. My question would be, I mean, again, this is all spec, but like, was he dancing, or was that really all he had? Like, was that literally him just saying, dude, I stuck my neck out for the gospel? Like, man, that was a crazy thing for me to do. Like you haven't seen what I've seen. You don't have the agents I have. You're not around the studios I'm around. You're not making the movies I've made. I mean, none of them are going to like anything even to the level that I just said it. Was that, I mean, if we were to talk to him right now, would he be able to tell us, like,
to that?
Like, well, man, I'm catching so much heat from that. And now they're asking me, like, how I feel about all these other issues because I talked about God in that way. Like, I wonder, like, what his,
he is not catching any heat over that speech. Here's what he did not do. And this is not a criticism of him. If we had wanted him to preach a gospel sermon, then that was an F. But as an acceptance speech that says things that point people towards truth, pretty strong. Way stronger than thank the good Lord upstairs kind of thing. Yeah. But he didn't say anything that excluded anybody. You know, so that's where Hollywood catches heat. Even so, his comments that were in favor of sort of patriotism and in support of the military were purely admiration. They did not say anything against anybody. It was just
no, that's
you,
true.
Was,
but
thank
you
for your sacrifice, and his comments about there is a God and He loves you. That, you know, we view that through the lens of evangelicals, but somebody who's the only people who are going to be annoyed at that are atheists, and
so
even then,
most
and
of he, Hollywood.
Well, I think most of Hollywood is spiritual, not atheist.
I agree. Most of Hollywood's comfortable with like.
With God,
you know,
talk,
I think the
in
man upstairs.
Term. Yeah, they,
yeah,
or,
yeah. Man upstairs talk.
Or you mean what you mean by God, and I mean what I mean by God. Like, God is a very comfortable topic when it stays at that level. When you begin talking about lordship, then you've got issues.
Yeah, and, but don't you think, Pipe, that it was at the very least, it was very Republican sounding?
Oh, well, he is. I was
oh, is he
Christ-
like I don't know?
Yeah,
he, so
I was
he
at
is.
A, okay, he's like okay. a flag waving, military supporting. I don't know that he's Republican in terms of like our current administration Republican, but he is a conservative,
okay.
you know,
okay.
middle American blue collar person. I mean, he started by saying, you know, we didn't have a pot to piss in and all that. And all, you know, so he is very salt of the earth to begin with. So
that's a good persona move for him.
That's not at all surprising.
Yeah, and it's the wheelhouse he should stay in. I mean, I think it gives him a little bit of uniqueness there in the marketplace. So,
well, at the very least, it means he's going to be able to start making like Christian flicks when his Hollywood career starts.
When his real career's over. Yeah, when his real career tanks.
He'll be able to say, like, God's Not Dead Part 7. I mean, he'll be all ready.
I think he can either replace Nick Cage in, you know, the Left Behind reprisal Part 7 or 6 or whatever they're on now, or he can replace Kevin Sorbo in, I think he's the God's Not Dead guy. So, yeah, he's got a future when he stops being Blockbuster King and Star-Lord.
What about like the Calvinist 4 starring?
Maybe he'll play one of us when they make a movie of this podcast.
Now we're talking. You know. We're starting to dream, Big T.
Yeah, starting to dream big, baby. I'm starting to get over this.
Baby,
no.
Kitty Cat's coming home. Just hang in there.
I feel like if he grew his hair out and put on a pair of turquoise glasses,
he'd be close.
He could play a good Ted.
He'd be close, yeah. Man.
He'd have to get a little bit fatter, though. It'd have to be more like early career Chris Pratt, you know what I mean, and not like steroidal shit.
Well, he's in a good run right now because it was early career when he was like funny fat dude. Now he's Hollywood hunk. He's gonna get to fat dude again. Like,
which is
that's
funny because he's
nature.
Not real. He's not real hunky. You know what I mean? He's like he's a real everyman when it comes to Hollywood hunk. Let's just be honest, man. He doesn't hold a candle to some of the other Chris's
That's true. He's not a Hemsworth. He's not a Pine. He's not a – who's the guy who plays Captain America? Is that Evans or some generic Chris name?
Some generic boring underwear model.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah.
But yeah, he has the face that I call – he has what I call the PBR face. Like that's a guy who sits in the bleachers at Wrigley and drinks PBR. Like that's just who he is.
Dude, that's so true.
And it doesn't matter how jacked he is from chin down. From chin up, he has a PBR face.
It's just phenomenal. I mean, when I see Chris Pratt, I just think that dude must wake up every morning and go, I have no idea how this happened. No idea how this happened. Seriously. Yeah. Like, he probably still thinks, I can't even believe I got the Parks and Rec gig. And then here I am doing like Blockbuster dinosaur movies. Now, like, it's insane. How did this happen?
Yeah. No, kudos to him, man. It's an interesting thing. And, you know, the interesting thing about this MTV deal is that it'll all be over in 2 days.
It's just not already.
I mean, you know, what's his name? De Niro says F Trump in his speech and he's a hero. You know, he's such a thoughtful sweetheart. He's a sweet guy for saying that. And, you know, Pratty mentions, you know, God, and maybe he catches a little heat. I don't know. Speaking of God, though, and speaking of gatherings of people, speaking of a demo probably a lot like the MTV, you know, award show that we just witnessed, I want to talk about, was it GCO or TGC that this little Women of Color flap happened at? What are we looking
at?
It
was the Gospel Coalition Women's event. So they have a women's conference, I think alternating years with the main conference. And so that was just, it was like, what, 2 weeks ago, a week ago? So there was an event in conjunction with that caused a ruckus.
Sweet.
Well, I shouldn't say the event caused a ruckus. Some very sensitive people raised a ruckus about it.
Wait, you mean to tell me that reformed people were overthinking something and then getting really sensitive about
shocking,
it?
Shocking, I know.
Yes,
that's crazy.
And white people also don't like to discuss things about race. Also shocking.
Dude, all right. So Piper, give me the lay of the land here, because I don't get why anybody would get all up and been out of shape about this thing. This is stupid. Explain to me the steps in terms of why people got bent out of shape.
This is a hard task for me because I think it's as absurd as you are representing it as. So there was a women of color, like a meetup, a gathering just for women. You know, minority women who are going to be at the conference to get together, to connect, to ascend. I think it was primarily just to sort of encourage one another, be in one another's company. My guess is it was a small number of people, but typical of small numbers of sensitive people, they're really loud. They got very offended that white people were excluded, that this seemed, you know, sort of separatist and, you know, exclusive and, you know, whoa, what would happen if we did a white women's gathering? And I just wanted to be like, yeah, that's the other 93%
of this conference.
That's
called the Gospel Coalition
Women's
Conference. Yeah,
that's literally everybody else who's there. So it just...
Oh my gosh, this is so stupid, dude.
So it... And they still, you know, thankfully they did not bow to pressure and cancel it or anything. And some wonderful vocal voices supported them in it. It just goes to show that despite the fact that white people are the majority culture and have next to nothing to worry about in terms of like racial expectations or racial discrimination of any kind, people still live in hypersensitivity and fear of minorities doing anything on their own. I mean, that's what this comes down to, is a group of women wanted to bond together over something they have in common in a context where they're even more pronounced minorities because it's
concentrated.
Because it's reformed Christianity. This is not a bastion of like minority culture. And so they're coming together for positive reasons and taking heat because somebody's obnoxiously sensitive, instead of going, we're so glad you get to do that. Or, you know, or just be like, you know, just sort of a general positive attitude towards it. I don't know. I couldn't make any more sense out of it than you are. It is really indicative of the obnoxious sensitivity white people have. I'm painting with an incredibly broad brush. A lot of white people have about minorities having a minority identity, having a cultural identity, being vocal about their identity. That's a threat to people for no reason that I can articulate very well other than silly fear.
And Pipe, I feel like they probably had more support than less support at the end of the day. I mean, it was a few just grumbling, complaining, you know, outraged voices. I mean, I definitely don't think it was that wide. And I personally talked to women who were just like, this is, you know, white women who were like, this is absurd. We literally don't even understand why anybody have a problem with this. We actually think it's great that TGC is like going to these lengths to widen themselves and diversify in these areas that have been lacking all these years. And we're pumped about that. And so I just definitely think it was a minority that came against, what they were trying to accomplish.
A minority of sensitive white people.
Yeah, absolutely.
And a number of those people who were upset about it were white men who weren't even going to be at the conference anyway.
Now that's absolutely true. And that was even more
baffling.
Which
is incredibly typical of our ridiculous social media age, but also just stupid.
Yeah.
That's incredibly stupid. I don't even know what to say. I mean, you know what I mean? Like...
Pipe. Right there.
I guess
it really is.
The one thing that I would want to say, and because it's very easy for me or us to get on a high horse and judge the people who are vocal about it, I suspect that all three of us and any other white people we still struggle with some sort of prejudice in our lives at various points, either a thought that we have to suppress or something that comes out more actively. And I guess the thing that this sparked in my mind is what are those things that I see in minority culture? And I realize minority culture is actually 1,000 cultures. So any culture different than my own that I'm inclined to be prejudicial towards or feel threatened by. And I immediately need to ask, why? Why do I feel threatened when a minority acts in accordance with their home culture? Or do something to support one another as minorities, like as this case was. I don't know. I mean, because that's the thing that stood out to me most was that this threatens people for some reason, and I can't make sense of it. But I also recognize there are still seeds of some of that in my own life in different instances, not this particular one. And so I think that's the question that anybody who's majority culture white ought to be asking ourselves is, why are we so threatened by people being minority? I can't make sense of it, but it still exists.
Yeah. No, it does, man. And that's a good word. You know, there are those things I think that, you know, we would probably be a lot less quick to talk about on the air that we still carry around for sure. And, you know, one that I'm comfortable talking about in the air is how much I hate soccer. So, you know, the world... the whole World Cup thing is just kind of a drag for me. It's a tough hang. Like, it just sucks that, like, my cat ran away and the World Cup started in the same week. You know, there's just not a lot of comfort there.
But you'll always have the Mariners.
I'll always have the Mariners, yeah, who we're on a little two-game skid now, but that's okay, man. We're playing the Yankees, so, you know, brighter days ahead. But, boys, let's end with a fun one. This was, I think this was a listener suggestion, wasn't it, Pipe?
This was, yeah. It was a strong listener suggestion.
It's a strong little game, a strong little listener suggestion. And the question or the setup here is, what would happen if we took two famous pastors and had them swap pulpits? So not actual physical pulpits, but swap congregations and audiences. And what are some that would work? And I'm going to get us started because I have one that I think kind of low-key might work. So you'll have to correct me if I'm wrong, but I think Joel Osteen and Matty Chan are in the same – aren't they in the same metro area? Aren't they both Houston?
No, Houston and Dallas respectively. So they're
Houston and Dallas.
It's,
so
well,
both,
to be fair, if you're not from Texas, that's really kind of the same thing. They're both
– dude, I was just going to say, man.
Huge spaghetti junction of interstates with lots of Tex-Mex and terrible weather.
Dude, right, huge impersonal Texas cities, you know. So here's why I think this would work. They're both pastors of gigantic megachurches in very similar metro areas with probably very similarly affluent audiences. I think you could swap those two out and not have that much of a hiccup. And that may be kind of a mean thing to say or an indictment of one audience or the other, but I actually think this could work. I think they could pull it off. Similar levels of opulence, you know, similar kind of arena show presentations probably. I think it could work. I think it'd work out. What do you got, Pipe? Do you have one of these?
So the one that I wanted to see happen mainly because I think it would be a disaster in an uh-huh. amusing way. Is uh-huh. swapping Mark Dever,
okay,
for Craig Groeschel.
Ooh, now you're gonna have to jog my memory on Craig Groeschel. I don't know who this
so
is, but I'm
Craig Groeschel is the pastor of statistically the largest church in the United States because they do basically e-campuses all over the country. So they're based out of, I think, Oklahoma City. It's out of Oklahoma somewhere, Oklahoma City area, I think. And they have multiple campuses. There's a campus 10 minutes from where I live in the Nashville suburbs. And so they pipe in Groeschel's sermons on Sundays, but each campus has their own worship and, you know, small groups and whatever else. But they call themselves one church. So they have like 100,000 people who attend this church. Technically,
Judas H. Priest, Piper. I'm looking at this guy now. He's steroidal too.
Yeah, Groeschel,
this guy looks
man.
Like he bench presses Buicks.
He does, man. He does alongside.
He can definitely bench press three Stephen Furticks.
With Stephen Furtick.
Yeah, that's right. So,
dude, I'm so tired of these pretty boys and their open collars and their you know Under Armour Nike you know form fitting dry fit shirts that they preach in. Get out of here with that, man.
Why are you sick of it, man? You know who's not
steroidal and open
awesome.
Collar and form-fitting shirts?
Ron Martin, our very own Ron Martin.
Well, I was going to go with Mark Dever, which is part of the reason this trade would be so much fun.
It'd be a gong show.
The other reason is that Mark Dever is of the ecclesiological belief that a church is a single gathering. So they do one service. They do almost no programs outside of their service. I mean, I think that they think people meet in homes in the church fellowship, but like in terms of church run programs
yeah,
they,
yeah.
They like multi-site is anathema to that model.
Yeah.
They're literally everything church-wise that is the opposite of Craig Groeschel and Life Church. And so this is not so much a pulpit swap as I want to see a 12-month pastor swap.
Yeah, that'd be amazing.
Mainly because I exist to watch the world burn. And this would just be the most destructive thing to two churches, I think.
It would. It would be a hot mess. Now, along those lines, Piper, I have a follow-up question for you on this. If this pulpit swap happened, would Dever have to get on Groeschel's workout regimen? And if so, workout supplements, the whole thing. How jacked would Mark Dever get in 1 year? And would he start wearing the kind of shirts that like show off your traps and like that upper part of your clavicle and the kind of Groeschelian wardrobe. Would he have to start immediately preaching in like shiny shirts that hug his frame?
The hardest thing. This is literally the hardest question you could have asked me. I could describe. I could predict anything. I think anything that would happen in the lives of these churches. But in terms of the physique of Mark Dever, I am stumped. I have no
idea. Mark Dever would come out of this year with like Tom Hardy traps. You know what I mean?
I can't imagine him doing any exercise more rigorous than like
heavier than a Bible.
I could see him on the elliptical. Uh-huh. You know, with like calf socks and walking shoes.
Maybe
on a rowing machine going at like, you know, moderate pace.
Yeah.
And the only reason I can picture that is because I watched the first couple seasons of the show House of Cards, and the character played by Kevin Spacey, Frank Underwood, will occasionally go on his rowing machine in the basement of his Washington, D.C. townhome. Which I assume Mark Dever also owns one of those.
He has a townhome. Yeah,
and he would actually get on the rowing machine in dress slacks and a dress shirt. And I was like, that's Mark Dever's workout routine right there.
Yeah, so, Mark, he doesn't look like a real workout guy.
No.
He's not a real workout warrior, is he, Dever?
Is anybody on like the T4G stage a workout person?
Besides David Platt, no.
Like Platt. Dude, Platt. Well, that's true. Platt's a closet CrossFit nut.
Right, that's what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying.
I mean, there's a certain kind of workout you can get away with as an egghead reform nerd, but it has to be more earthy. You can't just like go to a Planet Fitness and like get your lift on for 2 hours.
None of it can be aesthetic. It all has to be for like it's like
functional.
It's like eating to feed the machine. Like you don't revel in good food. You also don't revel in how much better you look when you're fit. Like none
in the
of
same
that
way that
happen.
You don't like if you're reformed, you don't have sex for fun. You just have sex to like create a person.
Now, that's one they're loosening up on. You get enough marriage
Is
books
really?
To talk about how much fun sex can be. I mean,
dude, because about 8 years ago, it was all about create people.
Yeah.
You know, let's repopulate the planet with our seed.
Create disciples and shepherd some children's hearts, and off we go. Yeah, no, I think the sex one they're loosening up on a little bit.
Well, that's good.
Careful.
Good for them.
Yeah, careful. Sorry, Ron. Don't want to get you in trouble here. I think we said sex four times.
We
now.
Said so sex too many times.
I say it every week. I have a segment every week during my sermon where I say we're going to break it down to sex right now for about a minute.
Absolutely.
So, just keeping it loose.
You know? Yeah, Tim Keller's always bringing it back to Jesus. Ronnie's always throwing in a sex analogy just to make people uncomfortable.
Let me pose a hypothetical question to both of you. Assuming that as all trends do, this Planet Fitness, bodybuilding nonsense is going to finally work its way into the Reformed Church. Who do you think is the first of our guys who's going to like get super jacked and start wearing the shiny shirts? Who's going to be shiny shirt jacked guy in our little tribe? Who's going to be first to that party?
I mean,
And what I mean is really grabbing onto it as a persona.
Yeah, like this can't be like a slight thing. Like you get people like Platt or Matt Chandler who are like they stay fit, but they're not like they're not going for the aesthetic.
Right.
Could it be
the kid who just got named the head of the thing that we're part of, the SBC?
JD Greer?
Yeah, because he's already kind of like
Greer.
He's,
Greer
he's
kind
a little
of falls,
platty.
Greer falls in that same category of like stays fit but doesn't like he's a very normal dresser. Like he's polo shirts and jeans. You know, he's very Matt Chandler in sort of his the way he presents himself.
Yeah, but dude, there's potential there, man. There's potential for him to kind of like
there's good bodybuilding potential
to jump
the
shark on that one for sure, man.
See, here's the thing. I feel like if he was going to, he already would have because he leads a multi-site mega church in North Carolina. It's a lot of young people. There's the good looking people at that church. I mean,
he's a reformed Groeschel already, is what he is. I mean, that's true.
Two steps away.
I don't even know what that means. But I feel like if he was going to tip, he already would have tipped.
Pipe, did our boy I have a little sub-question on Greer. Did that kid go to Wheaton College?
I don't think he did. I don't know. I think he went to some smaller Baptist college like, you know, Carson Newman or something
like
that.
Which is why he's at where
he's at
today.
I went to a lake with him once with some Wheaton guys, and he was a part of it. But I don't know. I could be wrong. It was a lot of years ago. But Big R, who do you think is going to be our first – you know, guy to go shiny shirt, you know, jacked steroidal in the reform set.
Dude, I don't know, man, because I like Greer. Here's a weird one for you, all right? I'm gonna go a little left field with you on this one.
Yeah, later on.
I could see. Well, I'm gonna combine it, right? I'm gonna combine it with the topic. So something I would like to see, a pulpit swap I would like to see, is nothing would give me greater joy than an unironic swap and see KDY going to Elevation Church, going to Ferdy's Church, and just having to preach like a 4-week series on like Christology or something.
Yeah.
You know, and you got KDY up there preaching for 1:10, getting into all the creeds and all this kind of stuff, and having like his congregation just staring at him like, what just happened? You know?
Yeah.
I think that would be great. Now, having said that, dude, I mean, I don't know if you've noticed KDY in like the last year or so, but that dude has lost a ton of weight, number one. Number two, I could see the next step in that is saying, hey, man, it's time for me to get a little fit. And maybe not him going like totally shiny shirt, but like in his own version of it, kind of going a little more Platt Greer and having us kind of like look at him at some point and go, like KDY,
what's going on? Under
like you're
that
spending post. A lot of time in the gym now, dude.
Step one for him would be going one of two directions. One is like the hipster thick frame glasses instead of his, you know, sort of scholarly wireframe glasses. Or getting LASIK, and I think that's the way to go. You know,
he's going to go LASIK.
LASIK, he's
never doing hipster glasses. I can guarantee it.
Well, right. He's
technically already wearing hipster glasses. They're so nerdy, they're hipster, right? So that's
That could be.
He's kind of already
doing that. Yeah, they're like nerd chic as opposed to like the you know like instead of like actual chic. But yeah, I think LASIK is the way to go because then you do that, you start wearing something that's a little bit more. Fit and stylish to go with his weight loss and fitness regimen, and all of a sudden, he's not Furtick with you know V-necks and
well,
trapezoids.
Dude, he's a prof now at RTS. So, dude, he has to look good look fit for the kids, man.
Yeah, absolutely.
It all makes sense. I think it all makes sense.
I could see a big R. I could see a little LASIK, and I could see a little. You know, a little workout reg. But the thing about being an uptight reform guy is you can't do anything that smacks of like preening. You know what I mean? Because like the preen radar on these guys is just out of control.
I mean, not at his level, certainly. Not when you're hanging out with like Lig and Sinclair Ferguson and like Dak.
But see, those guys are the least preeny, show-offy guys imaginable. You know what I mean?
That's what I'm saying.
He could actually more get away. If he hung out with like Matty Chan and, you know, those guys who are, do a little bit more for the public. You know what I mean? I think you could get away with it.
Yeah, I feel like there's sort of a preening aesthetic ceiling on every different level. There's like the Al Mohler, Lig Duncan scholarly level. Like, and that's basically like you look like, you know, Plato in a sport coat.
Yeah, the way you preen is by getting another doctorate.
Yeah.
You know, like, oh.
You know, and your grandkids get you ties for Christmas kind of thing, and, like, that's your style turnover is like, oh, I'm wearing the green tie they got me instead of the blue one.
And that's obviously where KDY is at because he just looks –
yeah, that's the trajectory
he's
on.
He just looks like a 43-year-old version of that or whatever he is.
You know
what
I mean? Absolutely.
Well, I mean, Al Mohler has looked like the same version of that since he got to Southern, and he's been there for, like, 25-30 years. So I mean he's been the exact same guy. I think Devers kind of the same way. Where and then like the next level up is it's like the Platt, Chandler, Greer, but there's a ceiling on that because I guarantee if JD Greer showed up to speak in like a dry fit polo or like a deep V, Matt Chandler would tweet something just shots fired at him in six seconds.
You know. Right. So there's a self-correcting kind of like law of the jungle at play in these subsets where, if you're JD Greer and you rock anything except a polo and some khakis, you're getting heat from Matty Chan. But then there's like, I mean, no offense to Big R, but like I think of all the kind of reformed subsets, like Sojourn is probably the most preening friendly. You know what I mean? Because you know, you get guys peacocking around.
Oh, for sure. It's just
in their lumberjack gear, you know.
Yeah, we just don't have any lumberjack guys that are A-listers yet. That's kind of the deal.
Yeah, correct, man. Which is weird to me. Like, when are you guys going to put a guy like up on the main stage?
I mean, I keep raising my hand saying, you know, I'm you know, you can nominate.
Well, I know you have.
Yeah, right.
Like, yeah. I mean, who are the contenders? I mean, are there some guys that they're grooming up through the the preening, you know, lumberjack system there that are going to finally hit a main stage?
I mean, you'd be closer finding somebody at A29, which is essentially the same thing. But yeah, they don't, it's just really nothing. Nobody at, you know, you may have some like B-list level guys, but nobody's really hit that,
hit that A-list.
Nobody
sits
the main stage.
The problem is that the kingmakers are all the guys who are Play-Doh in sport coats.
Exactly.
Like, they can't. Yeah. There's only so many degrees of separation between them and what they're comfortable with. And they're like, sorry, you're like, we don't trust you because you have a look. Like, you have to have relatively no look to be trustworthy.
Yes, yeah, absolutely. That's how you.
It's vanilla. But
right, like you're a quality guy in the Reformed Church. Like people think you're a big sweetie if you have no personal style. I mean, that's the way to climb the ladder in that group.
Well, I mean, dude, it's even. Even to see what's funny is that like I'm always shocked when I see Platy going up on stage with his like his standard like sweatshirt and like weird like you know khaki pants and his like you know his like. 3-year-old Platy's Adidas.
He's the Bill Belichick of our
He just does nothing to try to like fit in with what they've established at all, at least image wise. Which
he's
is
the Belichick, man.
Yeah, yeah. Well, sure, whoever that is. But yeah, so it's just it's
Piper, explain to Ron who Bill Belichick is and why I made that comparison.
All right, I'll make this very short. Ron,
just explain
Bill
it on Happy Rent Sports.
He's the coach of the New England Patriots, who are the best team in the NFL and have been since 2001 or so. And he is the coach. He never smiles. He never expresses emotion positive. He will occasionally express negative emotion. And on the sidelines, you know, where everybody else is sort of wearing the stylish team gear, you know, like the nice pullover jackets and baseball caps, he wears no cap and his hair looks like he just rolled out of bed. And he wears hoodie sweatshirts with the sleeves cut off at about the elbow. So he's
okay,
the
ratty gray sweatshirt. Yeah. So yeah. Here's
so that is David
basically
he literally just
taunting the NFL's. He's like, you want me to wear your licensed gear? Fine, I'll just butcher it first,
dude. But it's more than that, and it's the same with Platy. So if you're Platy or Bill Belichick, the subtext, like, it's like not having a gimmick is your gimmick, not having an outfit is your outfit, in the sense that the subtext that it communicates is that I'm such a scholar and I'm so busy. In Platy's case, being broken for the world, or in Belichick's case, I'm so busy, like, you know, studying the game plan or film that I literally can't dress myself. And people love that. They go bonkers over it. It's so perfect for Platy.
And it's a little bit like the Steve Jobs mock turtleneck or the Mark Zuckerberg black t-shirt. You know, they're just their look is a non-look.
Like, I can't be bothered with fashion because I'm so busy, like, agonizing over the unsafe people's,
but
you
see
know,
that's his thing. No, that's absolutely true. But here's the one thing: like when you see, so this is what's funny. When you see those dudes like on one of those panels, something repeatedly over the years that you hear coming out of Ali Moeller's mouth or Liggs is always when they ever talk about KDY, they always make this kind of a comment to him. They always make this comment to him like. And Kevin, we hope that you continue on and just keep building on what we started. I mean, you know.
Oh, they do. They're the kingmakers.
They always say that. They never say that to Platy or Matty Chan or any of
because they
the
see
other
they see KDY as the heir apparent. He's absolutely. The successor. He's the golden boy.
He's the steady hand. Those other guys are a little bit
too
loose
passionate.
Cannon. Yeah, they raise their voices. They yell.
Yeah.
And they're not. They don't have doctorates either. So.
It's
those
true.
Guys trust KDY. There's an inherent level of trust there.
Although Platy has a doctorate, but
does he?
I think
does
so.
He really?
Yeah, he's a super understand. Education guy.
My apologies. This is all listeners know that our show prep is no show prep. So this thanks for fact checking me.
Dude, I don't give a crap who does or doesn't have a doctorate at the end of the day. I'm here to talk about their fashion.
And the best thing about you saying that is that you work at a university.
I do, but none of those guys went to my university.
The only
so.
Thing we remember about any of the old dudes is what they wore. I mean, I
remember what they wore. Somebody else can worry about their degrees.
I don't know.
I can't worry about what they wore.
I can't tell you one word I read in Desiring God besides the or and, but I can tell you the coat that Johnny P wears every time he goes up there and speaks. Right?
Same coat he's worn since like 1983. Now,
that's right.
It's not the same coat, but he replaces it with the same coat every time.
Fashion lives.
Dude, that brings me joy. That makes me so happy to hear that. And what makes me happier about that, Piper, is that like each time he replaces it, it probably gets harder. You know what I mean? He has to do more kind of deep internet searches for the same unfashionable jacket. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's like... My mom's like 40% of her time is bookmarking
40%.
where you can buy that one coat.
So what are you doing today, Mom? Oh, you know, between 12 and 2, I just go on that
coat. I got to go to the Sears in Rapid City, South Dakota to get that sport coat.
Searching for earth tone tweed jackets for your dad because he's about to wear out the elbows again.
But, you know, I only do that Monday through Thursday now. I take Fridays off.
Yeah, yeah.
Retirement is a blessing.
It's fantastic. Well, we have done what we always do on this program. We've wandered to and fro throughout these topics, and this has been fun, man. This is kind of what I needed. It's been a little hot.
Baby Kitty's coming home.
Oh, thank you, baby. I can't hear that enough, truly. But maybe we can get some. We can just get some kind of a social media movement started to bring my cat home. But
what's her name?
We'll Penny.
Penny, like PENNY?
PENNY. We got them together. There's two, a brother and a sister, Penny and Steve. So you know, Steve's grieving. I can tell.
So brother is grieving right now.
He is grieving. I was just with him. I was just visiting
him. Comforting him, consoling him?
Consoling him, absolutely. Yeah. So dark days in our household, boys, but this has been a ray of light, you know, talking about Platty and his khakis.
Platty and Pratty.
You know, nothing. Platty and Pratty. You know, we started with Platty, ended with Pratty. So,
today, man, with our alliterations. So we're
very, very Baptist. It's been good, boys, and we've wandered to and fro until next time. Rachel the Held Evans.
The Happy Rant is brought to you by Resonate Recordings. If you go to resonaterecordings.com, you can see the full range of services they offer. So if you're considering starting a podcast, they are the ones we recommend going with. Again, go to resonaterecordings.com to see their prices, to connect with them and ask any questions, and to see what they can do to help you launch, edit, master, and improve your podcast. Again, go to resonaterecordings.com to see what they can do to help you launch and improve your podcast.
Is life feeling chaotic? I get it. I'm Rachel Wojo, host of the Untangling Life podcast. Don't miss the passionate encouragement and faith-based resources you need to help you clear your head and calm your heart. As Shell says, it feels like Rachel always knows what I need to hear. She keeps it real and is so humble. Her podcast is just the cherry on top. Enjoy Untangling Life with Rachel Wojo on lifeaudio.com or your favorite podcast app now.